There was a young man named Oli who was dating a beautiful girl. And they went out for a picnic after church one Sunday afternoon. Oli rented a boat, and he took Bessie to an island on their favorite lake that was just west of Milwaukee. They enjoyed the lunch that he had prepared himself. It was a very romantic setting, but Oli had forgotten a few things. And Bessie said to him, "Oh, Oli, it would be nice if we had some salt and some ketchup and some napkins." So without hesitating, Oli got in the rowboat by himself and he rowed back to the shore and got those items. And this routine happened a couple of times. The last time, Oli rowed back for ice cream and it was melted before he got back to Bessie on that hot summer afternoon. Oli was a sweating mess. That night, Oli started to think, "I could have done this a little better, couldn't I?" So he decided to think about it a little bit and come up with a better plan. And Oli's last name, by the way, was Evinrud. Later that evening, the night of the picnic, he started some drawings of the first, world's first outboard motor. Soon he built it, and an industry was born because a young man was head over heels in love with a young woman and wanted to please her. And Bessie later became Oli's wife. Now that's a Paul Harvey kind of story. The identity of the main character is revealed at the very end. Every storyteller gets to decide when they'll reveal the secret. Every story has a secret. Will it be revealed earlier or will it be a surprise at the end? Mystery writers often share the secret near the end. They keep us engaged in thinking, turning pages, watching if it's a video, to find out who done it. But some stories are best told by letting the listener, the viewer, in on the secret right at the start, before the policemen even discover the crime. We don't have to figure out who done it. The joy and the excitement is in watching the detectives piece together clues, unravel the mystery that we already understand. Some of the first stories we are told as kids are like that. "Oh, Grandma, what big eyes you have." Little Red Riding Hood says these words as she looks at someone lying in the bed. She thinks it's her grandma. We know it's the big bad wolf. Or in The Ugly Duckling, the main character is rejected because of perceived ugliness, but is finally seen at the end as a lovely swan that we always knew him or her to be. In Princeton, New Jersey, there's a legend told about the famous physicist Albert Einstein. One day he was walking in front of a hotel. He was, just imagining and unraveling the mysteries of the universe, and he was mistaken as a bellhop by an arriving guest. Here, take my bags up to room 214, she said to him. Hurry now and don't scratch the luggage. Einstein had been contemplating deep thoughts and hardly broke it at all, and he picked up this luggage and he carried it up the stairs to 214. Arriving at the room, the woman handed Einstein a tip with some advice. "Young man, you're getting too old to be a bellhop. You should make something of yourself. Why don't you go back to school and get an education?" Einstein listened, nodded, and then continued his walk down the street, unraveling the mysteries of creation. Now we laugh because we know something the traveler doesn't know. We know the secret. And the Gospels can be like that too. The secret is the identity of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. God come to us in flesh and blood. That's the secret. And just so we don't miss it, Mark tells us this little story of Jesus' baptism. The heavens open up, the Holy Spirit comes down upon him like a dove, and God tells the secret to Jesus. "You are my Son, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." This event is important to Jesus. It will be a great strength for him as he undergoes challenges in life, as he faces temptation, hostility, rejection, and then the agony of the cross, and take on the sins of the world. He will remember this voice that tells him he is the Son of God, that he has come to earth as a human being to save people. Throughout Mark's gospel, this amazing story unfolds, and it seems that nobody can figure it out, the simple secret. The authorities and the religious leaders don't get it. They think Jesus is a troublemaker. The mass of people, for the most part, does not understand the secret. They think Jesus is a miracle worker, a food provider, maybe a prophet. Even the disciples don't get the full truth that Jesus is the Son of God. Ironically, it seems like only the forces of evil are the ones that understand this. Demons and devils recognize and shout at Jesus, proclaiming him the Son of God. Well, maybe it's because Jesus doesn't exactly fit what others expected the Son of God to look like, the Messiah. Like the genius Einstein dragging suitcases up to the second floor of a hotel, Jesus doesn't really look like who he is. Near the end of the Gospels, Jesus is crucified. He looks defeated, some Messiah he turned out to be. Someone makes a sarcastic sign to be placed above his head, and it says, King of the Jews? A criminal next to him taunts him and hurls insults at him. There's one person in the crowd, maybe two, who see the secret beyond what seems to be. The criminal on his other side says, Jesus, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And out in the crowd below him, there's a Roman guard there to control the crowd to make sure that Jesus dies properly. He sees Jesus take his last breath and proclaims, surely this was a righteous man. Surely this man was the Son of God. In a way, the gospel accounts of Jesus are still proclaiming that secret, the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. And like some of the people in the gospels, some people today might see Jesus only as a good teacher, a moral leader, a prophet who said some challenging, important things, but nothing more. Or maybe people see him as a historical figure who has gained in significance just by the retelling of the stories. But some will take a close look, and like the Roman soldier, will realize this man is the Son of God. Friends, here at the beginning of the year, I want to remind us, it's our job to tell the story. We know the secret. Jesus is the Son of God, and others need to hear it and know it. We'll see over the next few weeks as we go through the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, that Jesus said his disciples would become fishers of men. By that, he meant they would, and we would, be the people who brought Jesus to others, invited others into God's family. After Jesus' baptism, he's on his way now. He's no longer the carpenter, now he's the Messiah. His life as the leader, the Lord, has begun. And that life is going to turn the world upside down. I hope 2021 is a good year for you spiritually. I personally want to connect with God in a new and strong way. I want to remember and believe that God is still active in our lives. God is investing in us in the year 2021, in my life, in your life, in the life of our church, and certainly in the life of the world. I don't want to limit God this year at all with low expectations. I don't want to hear what we can't do. I want to hear what we can do with God's help. For Jesus is at work to transform our lives and world. Let's pray. Oh God, what are your dreams for us this year? What are your dreams for our lives? What's your dream for Crosswinds? Son of God, help us to walk with you and dream with you. May we believe that you are at work where we need healing, where we need forgiveness, where we need direction, where we need faith and hope and courage. May you be with us, God, where resources are needed, where we need vaccines and healing, where we need civility and humility and unity and cooperation, where people who are far from you come close to you, where peace is needed in the world, where jobs are needed, where we need help in our parenting, where we need friends, where we need love. May we believe the secret of who you are, the Son of God, our Savior, our Lord. God of all life, touch us this year with your love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.